This is Phoenix FM.
Now, I'm joined in the studio by Ted Key, Paul Greensdale and Nick Harrison, who are Ted Key and the Kingstons.
Hello! Yes.
Got it right?
You did very well, Michelle.
Now, your single, The Queen of Ella Street, is on our A-list. We got sent the track, I think, about a week or two ago. Went straight onto the A-list. We love it here. And it's from the debut album, which is called Racketeer Rock.
That's right.
So, start with you, Ted. What's your earliest memory of music? When do you remember hearing something as a child that you went... Oh, hello. Oh,
the drummer's just dropped dead.
Sorry, we'll have to have a moment silence for the drummer.
He was doing so well.
Well, I think radio, listening to the radio, really. I mean, we had an old radio in the house, and I remember listening to Sherlock Holmes on the radio. But I think, you know, it's all the top 40 stuff, you know. I remember listening to Michelle by the Beatles, Lying in the Sand at Flamborough, which is a coastal place near Hull. So it was mainly radio. We never had records in the house. My dad was a dustman and for 20 odd years, and you know, when you're a kid, you don't notice you haven't got things, really. For years and years we never had a record player, but anything off the radio. So we're talking, it was probably sort of mid to late 60s and early 70s.
I have a fairly large family, being from a Catholic family, and I used to sit around the family danset, mm-hmm. listening to, well, very earliest memories of things like Victor Borger, with his jokey albums, and some jazz stuff with Glenn Miller. Dad was a big band man, he loved his Glenn Miller. And but then, sort of on the radio, I remember things like Frankie Vaughan, Green Door, and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a bit older than them, so I remember that stuff. The Green Door, and also I remember my favourite at the time was, again, a Frankie Vaughan thing, was a Tower of Strength. Do you remember that one?
No,
I was a Tower of Strength. I walk right in and look you in the eye, and this is what I say: I don't want you, I don't need you. It was, you know, dramatic voice and stuff. I remember that sort of thing. That's my earliest memories. And there was the very early Beatles stuff, because my mother was from Merseyside, and I used to, you know, Uncle Colin actually took the Beatles across on the ferry once, the ferry across the Mersey, because he was a ferry captain of Mersey. Yeah, so it was, that's the stuff, really. I could go on forever.
What were you asking about, the earliest memory?
Yeah, the earliest memory of music.
Yeah, I mean, at the age you're at, it would have been the same thing, the Beatles, listening to the Beatles on the radio in the late 60s. And I remember other records, like, I remember there's one, I mean, I was a kid, so you'd like novelty records, like, I remember there was Grocer Jack, do you remember that?
Yes, yeah.
I remember
excerpts from Teenage Opera.
There was another record called Seasons in the Sun, I remember.
Terry Jacks,
So you remember these kind of quite funny records like that, but I remember I loved the Beatles when I was a kid. I mean, I remember being about 4 years old, sitting by the radio in the corner of my parents' living room, and the Beatles coming out, I'd really like them.
I picked up the guitar a long time before that. I was sort of 15, so 1974, 75. I think what inspired me was really The Who. I was a big fan of The Who and Pete Townshend. My real sort of musical inspiration started when I had a paper round, and this older lad would buy this magazine called the NME. And I thought, how can you call a magazine the NME? But it was New Musical Express. Mm. And then I discovered that I started reading New Musical Express and... just found my way into loads of different types of music. But The Who was my original inspiration. In fact, my dad being a dustman, my first guitar was this one he found in a dustbin and brought home. And it only had four strings on. And at the time, I thought it was broken because I didn't realise you could put extra strings on it.
And, it was a working guitar.
It was a working guitar. It was a white, sort of semi-acoustic one.
Wow.
But it was pretty knackered. And because I was into The Who, to my everlasting shame, I thought, what's it like to smash a guitar up?
No!
And I went in the garden and smashed this guitar up, and honestly, I regret it to this day, I regret that. Oh. And God bless him, my dad still bought me another acoustic guitar. I said, Dad, that one's broken, can I have another? And he got me one for my birthday.
Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Oh, my Lord.
And was it about
a
girl?
It was a song called PC Plod. about the brutality of the police force, but that was years ago. I mean, I didn't really sort of seriously start writing songs until I was sort of 21, 22. The first band I was in, the Gargoyles, for want of a better word, we were a bit of a comedy band. We were all into humour. So the core of the band, myself, Eddie and Paul, Eddie was the lyricist. So my job really was to come up with the chords that fitted with his insane lyrics. And we had titles like Mad Men from the Planet Sex and Bouncy Bouncy about bouncing around the world on a space hopper.
As you do.
As you do, yeah. As you do, you know, when you're bored in your early 20s. So, you know, the first sort of serious songs, I suppose, semi-serious, would be in the Gargoyles. Mm. In the House Martins, certainly, when I picked up the bass, I'd never been a bass player. Mm. And I met Paul at a gig, and at the time they were a duo, and I'd seen them play, and they were really, really good. I thought that, you know, the harmonies were good, the songs were interesting and different, you know. So when he said, do you know anybody who plays bass? I says, well, I can play the bass. I didn't have a bass. I had to borrow the bass off Paul in the Gargoyles. And when I first approached bass playing, it was purely a melodic thing. And the songs were quite jaunty, you know, so it was like, I don't know. Stuff, you know, that was just jolly and went along. Mm. But it provided another melody line to the songs because the guitar was basically chords. He never really played any solos. And although Paul played occasional harmonica, it sort of adds an element of melody to the song. But, you know, different bass players do different things. I mean, Paul, I think, comes from the same sort of area as me. His way of playing is to listen for a melody that will work with the guitar, you know, because a lot of bass players... There's a little joke about a bass player who went for his bass lesson and said, right, we're going to teach you the E string, so I just want you to go. I said, right, so go away and practice that. And the next week he comes back and says, right, I want the A string. So he goes, right, go away and practice that. And then the third week he didn't come back. Right, and the fourth week he didn't come back. So in the fifth week when he finally came back, he said, well, why haven't you come back? He says, well, I've got loads of gigs in bands going. So there's that type of bass player, which perform, you know, a function. Mm. But I think in this band, the bass, because we're a three-piece, performs a really important melodic function.
The whole thing about melodic bass. If you listen to a track by Led Zeppelin called Ramble On, and check out the bass playing in that, And that kind of epitomises for me the use of a combination of rhythm and melody to enhance a number. I mean, the number is actually a riff number by Jimmy Page, but if you listen to it, the predominant thing throughout the whole number, which is a fast movement and a slow movement, is the bass on it, John Paul Jones's bass line, and it's called Ramble On. It's on the first album, and it's definitely worth checking out if you want to know an example of that, because it's beautiful. Mm. Absolutely. Anyway, I just thought I had to add that.